Today is Monday, April 15th. If you're in the United States, you know this as Tax Day. It's that time again, which rolls around quickly every year. We are citizens of this country, on which our tax documents are due to the government. Are yours done? No? Getting an extension, huh? Now, if you're with us on the podcast from somewhere outside the U.S., then April 15th may be just another day to you, but undoubtedly, you've got a tax to pay at some point. So may God be gracious to all of us who pay a tax. One day, no tax will be due because we will leave this world for another, but until that day, those forms must be completed and submitted. And this can create stress on you. So because God cares about everything going on in our lives, I pray that you will be able to get done what needs doing and that he will supply you with his grace to do so. When we left off on Friday, I was telling you that despite the wickedness of men and the hopes of the devil, Jesus Christ was fully in charge of his own death. This is the big insight I have for you this week as we approach Good Friday and we remember the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins. As promised last week, here's what we're going to do. I have two texts in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 27 I want to focus on. Both of them will reveal that despite the wickedness of men and the hopes of the devil, Jesus Christ was fully in charge of his own death. And just as a reminder or to introduce you to them for the first time, if you're new to God Is, and welcome, by the way, I'm glad you're here, these are those passages. If you have a pen or pencil or mobile technology available, jot these down. Matthew 27, verses 26, 33 through 34, and verse 50. That's Matthew 27, verses 26, 33, 34, and 50. Let me read those as we begin the week together. This is Matthew 27, verses 26, 33, 34, and 50. After having Jesus scourged, Pilate handed Jesus over to be crucified. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they gave Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. And after tasting it, Jesus was unwilling to drink. Verse 50, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And again, I say these verses reveal the following. Despite the wickedness of men and the hopes of the devil, Jesus Christ was fully in charge of his own death. Often, Jesus is presented in death as one who totally succumbed to the people who nailed him to the cross and hoisted him upwards on the crucifix. That the way he died and the timing of his death was set alone by those responsible for the murder of the Christ. Furthermore, one gets the impression from a lot of people talking about the end of the Lord's life that he was very frail and fragile at the end, that he wilted on the cross. Well, I disagree, and I do so based on what the Bible actually says. And this is why I want to take us into the Word of God and dig deep below the surface to see what God is actually saying in the text that I have just read for us. But first, let me make a comment on my statement. We have already seen, haven't we, in our series together, how wicked the men were who treated Jesus with such contempt leading up to his crucifixion. If you've been with us here on God Is, you know this is true. Furthermore, it is beyond a doubt accurate to say that Satan wants Jesus dead. The hope of the devil is that his archenemy, Jesus, will die and remain dead forever. The Bible repeatedly describes Satan as an adversary of Christ's and of Christ's people. So you can imagine that he wants nothing more than for Jesus to just go away. And if he can keep him in the grave, locked dead behind that stone in front of the tomb, then the devil will have victory, sweet victory over God. But that is not what happened, as we shall see when we talk about resurrection on this program. So it is that the wickedness of men and the hopes of the devil conspire together to defeat Christ on the cross, yes. But despite their joint effort, nothing can happen to Jesus that God himself does not ordain. Nothing can happen to Jesus that God himself does not choose to make happen. And that leaves us with this fact. Jesus Christ was fully in charge of his own death. And so let's drop down to verses 26 and 33 through 34 of Matthew 27. This reading tells us that Pilate has Jesus scourged, And we talked about that vicious punishment on the body, scourging, last week. And then Jesus is forced to carry his own cross, weighing at least 200 pounds, by the way. And they come hauling Jesus outside the city of Jerusalem. This was actually required by Jewish law. Listen to Numbers chapter 15 and verse 35. This is God speaking to Moses regarding all executions within Jewish practice. In Numbers 15:35, God says, "The man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp." Notice the emphasis there on outside the camp, which by the time of Jesus translated to outside the city of Jerusalem. And the place where they crucified the Lord was Golgotha. This was a hill that had the appearance of a skull. If you were to visit Jerusalem today, you can visit a site called Gordon's Calvary, which is believed to be the place of the execution, not far from Jerusalem's northern wall. If you use Google Earth, look this up on your computer. And then look at verse 34 when you have a chance to do so. Matthew says they gave Jesus a drink. It was wine mixed with gall. Gall is bitter, and it's myrrh. Yes, myrrh brings back memories for good Bible students of a gift presented to Jesus after his birth by the Magi. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11 says, "After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped Jesus. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." So Jesus is presented with myrrh after his birth and now before his death. Myrrh has many uses, but here they use it as a, and here is the key, they use it as a narcotic. Because crucifixion was horrifically painful, they used the myrrh to calm the person being put to death. This drug would act to keep him from struggling as the nails were driven through the flesh. I suppose we can say the gall was used then as a doctor would use a drug now to alter how the body reacts to searing pain. But here is what you must notice. Please notice this. Jesus refuses to drink it. Verse 34b of Matthew 27 says clearly, "After tasting it, Jesus was unwilling to drink. He will not ingest the myrrh, the gall." And we should note this detail in the text and ask why. Why did Jesus refuse to drink the gall that would calm his body? The answer is that Jesus wants to be in total control of his mind and body. If he drinks the gall, being himself fully man, then his body will react to it, and Jesus will lose that element of human control so important to him. Thus, he refused it. Despite the agony, Christ rejects the drink. And this is in keeping with the approach Jesus took to his death. For example, if we go back to Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, in Matthew chapter 26, we hear Jesus saying this to God the Father, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." That's Matthew 26:39. In other words, since God is giving him the cup of death, then Jesus is set on drinking every last drop of it. He's not going to compromise and defend his body against even one minute element of suffering. He wants to suffer in full, and so no gall. Or perhaps you know the Gospels well enough to remember that when the mob came to arrest Jesus in that same Garden of Gethsemane, Peter drew out a sword and cut off the right ear of the high priest's slave. But listen to what Jesus then said to Peter, whom he disciplined for such an act. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put the sword into the sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it?" That's John chapter 18, verse 11. John 18, 11. It's a rhetorical question. Jesus will drink the full cup of God's wrath on sin. He will maintain full control of his mind and body right up until the moment Jesus decides the time has come for him to die. And so again I say, Jesus refuses their drink. I hope you are starting to see why I've said something impactful about Jesus. He was in charge of his own death. He did not die at the time they wanted, but rather at the time he wanted. Jesus does not die a helpless victim. No, Jesus is not a helpless victim. Jesus dies the triumphant God-man. This is why he refused the wine mixed with myrrh in Matthew 27, verses 33 and 34. And which one of us would have refused the narcotic as he had? I dare say none of us. I guarantee you, if I was to be nailed to a cross, I would have gulped down every drop of that gall if it were passed to me. I'd drink anything if it keeps me from physical pain at death. How about you? Well, thanks be to our merciful and holy God, we are not nailed to the cross, because Jesus has been dispatched from heaven to hang there in our place. If we trust him for the forgiveness of our sins. My friend, God sent Jesus Christ on mission to suffer as no man has suffered before in our place. That's why we say Jesus is our substitute. And so again on this Monday, I offer you who have yet to believe in him, you who have yet to confess your sins to God, I offer you Christ. And I plead with you to acknowledge that you are a sinner, and you need his grace to be set free from your sin, from the awfulness of your iniquity, even as Christ has forgiven me of the awfulness of my sin. And believe me, it is awful. Oh, you say, I'm a Christian, Mark. I love and serve the Lord, and I rejoice with you at the forgiveness of my sins. Well, then I say to you, ponder anew with me today at the depth of agony Jesus endured for us, dear sister, dear brother in Christ. And I hope that all of you will be back here tomorrow, for God is.